A team of UBC scientists has been looking into the relationship between addiction and genetics. As part of a new study, they've genetically engineered a mouse to be resistant to cocaine addiction. Researchers say the findings strengthen a growing belief that addiction could be traced to a person's genes. The study is being published today in the journal Nature Neuroscience. Now, to tell us more about it, I'm joined by Dr. Shehrnaz Bamji. She is the lead scientist of the study. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So, take us back to the beginning. What were you trying to find out?
Well, the purpose of the study was to understand a little bit more about the addicted brain, and specifically to understand a little bit more what was going on at the level of the cell and the molecules.
So how did you genetically engineer the mouse to be resistant to cocaine addiction?
Well, how we had to genetically engineer the animals is just using standard tools and techniques. And what we did is we increased the amount of glue in one particular brain circuit in the brain, and specifically the amount of glue that is kind of found to strengthen synaptic connections, or the points where brain cells talk to one another. And what happened is that when we added a little bit more glue to these synapses, we strengthened them, and unlike what we thought we would see that the stronger synapse would cause more addiction, mm-hmm. We actually saw the opposite.
So how surprised were you by that?
Well, I made my team of researchers do it 3 times, so that was pretty surprising.
And it was the same 3 times?
It was the same 3 times, with 3 full cohorts of animals, 3 full cohorts of mice. So we were pretty confident about the actual results, and then it was about figuring out why that was happening.
Yes, and so how did it change your study?
Well, it changed the study. We had set out to make animals that were a little bit more addicted so that we could then try and figure out best therapies to try and, you know, normalize their cravings, their addictions. Instead, what we had is we had these animals that were pretty resistant to the cocaine that we were providing for them. And so, of course, the study then changed to why exactly are these animals so resistant to the drug.
So I imagine then the findings would change the way you understand the brain and addiction?
It does. It kind of, first I have to tell you that basically researchers think that addiction is learning that's kind of gone haywire in a particular part of the brain. Mm-hmm. And so learning really is all about strengthening of synaptic connections. And we knew some of the molecular rules that were going on in certain parts of the brain. And so we thought that those same rules would apply to this particular brain circuit. And the surprising finding was that, well, the rules don't necessarily apply. There are different things that have to go on in that particular circuit. And now that we understand them, we understand more about the differences in learning in different parts of the brain, which is really kind of exciting because hopefully one day we'll be able to capitalize on this and be able to, treat the haywire learning in this particular addiction circuit and then still be able to learn and remember people's names and numbers, et cetera, that you, of course, don't want to compromise.
Mm-hmm. So I was going to ask you about the significance of the findings. You know, like, how does this research then apply to how we understand addiction in people?
Well, the brain is incredibly complex. To make any headway into understanding how we learn, why we behave the way we do, what motivates us, et cetera, we really have to go step by step. So unfortunately, right now, we have no way of designing a pill that was going to help with addiction or help, you know, cravings. But by getting a better understanding of how the brain works through basic research, we're going to be hopefully getting closer to that day. And my hope, at least the goal of my lab, will be to one day treat addiction by changing the way the learning occurs in certain areas of the brain. And maybe one other thing that our study does definitely do is add to the very growing body of work showing that addiction is not just due to a weak will or poor judgment, but rather due to genetics and biology and biochemistry. That's not to say that there's no free will. We always have the choice of not to take the drug in the first place. But once you do, there are differences in how predisposed one can be to being addicted or not. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, depends on the genes.
But it's fair to say that this is a first step, or potentially a first step, in being able to prevent addiction by altering people's genes?
Well, not by, we most likely don't want to start altering people's genes. We're doing it as a tool, to, you know, creating these genetic mice. But what it's going to be giving us is it's a first step into seeing how addiction is occurring in humans. And then we can start identifying potentially proteins or molecules that we might want to then target, you know, using a pill or using a drug to then try to normalize what's going on in that particular part of the brain.
So clearly research leads not just to more answers, but always more questions, which you learn by not getting the result that you thought you were going to get. So what will you be looking into next to follow up on this study?
Oh, there are so many different avenues of research now that this opens up, of course. We continue our lab is still very interested in just the basics of how we learn and remember and how changes at the synaptic level can influence these processes. We're going to continue looking at different molecules. We're going to maybe try to do what we first started out to do, which is actually create an animal that is more addicted. By regulating other molecules that might be that might be involved in synapse plasticity.
Good luck with your work.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Nice talking to you.
You too. Thank you.
Dr. Shehnaz Bamji is a UBC researcher and lead scientist of the study that was published today in the journal Nature Neuroscience.